I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Now, normally we head to the barbershop on Fridays, but given the events of the past week, we felt we had to get into the shop early. So the guys are sitting in their chairs for their shape-up. Author Jimmy Israel, civil rights attorney and editor Arsalan Iftikhar, Republican strategist Ron Christie, and syndicated columnist Ruben Navarrete. Take it away, Jimmy.
Thanks, Michelle. Hey, fellas, welcome to the shop. How we doing?
Hey.
Hey, doing well.
Oh, well, I just got back from a trip to Pakistan. Anything, what's new, anybody?
Nothing much.
Oh, okay.
Nothing to see here.
Well, coincidentally, as it turns out, the world's most wanted man, Osama bin Laden, is now dead. Like many villains, his remains were committed to the sea. There's Captain Hook, Megatron, and now bin Laden.
Well, let's talk about how the whole thing was accomplished and... it's inevitable. We might find this distasteful, but then the whole question of who claims credit and to what we should attribute the success of this operation, this is being discussed. And, you know, some of that is politics, and some of that is, I think, you know, a typical after-action report, which is, you know, sort of recounting what were the factors that led to the success. And some of the question here is whether, is this President Obama? And some people are saying it's the Bush administration's authorization of what people, you know, some people prefer enhanced interrogation techniques. Other people just say it's torture that led to the win. Now, the president is trying to strike the tone of make this a unifying moment. Let's just play a short clip of what he had to say during a bipartisan congressional dinner Monday night.
You know, I think we experienced the same sense of unity that prevailed on 9/11. We were reminded again that there is a pride in what this nation stands for and what we can achieve that runs far deeper than party, far deeper than politics.
Do you think it does? Jimmy, what do you think?
I would agree. This is one of the few times that, I kind of agree with the president on this point. But I wonder what Ron thinks. Ron, is this a major point for President Obama going into 2012?
Well, of course it is. I mean, you know, you look at the fact that this is a political matter as well as a military matter. Politically speaking, my old boss, George W. Bush, in 8 years was unable to capture Osama bin Laden. He wasn't. It was one of the things he said he wanted him dead or alive. He wasn't able to do it. In this case, President Obama gave the order. President Obama, as the commander-in-chief of the military, dispatched our intelligence agencies to carry out their job, and I think job well done. But I would say, Jimmy, this is one thing I think my former boss, Vice President Cheney, had the right tone yesterday. And he said this was an effort to get bin Laden that started with President Clinton, that was, you know, intensified during the Bush administration, that was finally carried out in the Obama administration.
Right.
And that's why it goes beyond parties. It goes to the fact that these are American folks that are elected to represent us, and
right.
I think they all represented us well.
Ruben wrote about this. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Ruben wrote a column about this. So.
Yeah, it's really distasteful to me that we end up playing this game about credit and blame. But I think that the point is that you have at the CIA and in the military these lifers who serve one president after another and they never leave, right? And in order for you to believe somehow that President Obama deserves the credit, as they've said in the Simpleton network of MSNBC, for instance, that somehow, you know, he's able to do what Bush couldn't do, you have to believe that somehow when Obama came in, he got rid of all the military folks, the lifers, and all the CIA folks and put in his own folks, and somehow they were more competent than Bush's folks. It's the same folks, okay? It's the same people. And it does take a long time to do something like this. I like what Giuliani said, Rudy Giuliani, when he said, you know, you do murder cases that take 20 years sometimes. And so this was going to take a long time. It was going to take 10 years. I did find it a little distasteful that the Bush haters got out the long knives right away and started trying to poke the president. I thought it was interesting that the conservatives seemed to want to share in that and say, don't forget about Bush's role in all this. But, you know, I think it's tells us a lot more about us than it does about our military and our leaders. I think that by and large, President Obama has handled it correctly. A lot of people out there who support him, I think, have been really childish about this.
A-Train.
Yeah, you know, I think that this is something that, you know, transcends, or at least should transcend, partisanship. You know, you have people like Sarah Palin who didn't even mention President Obama's name, you know, when talking about this. So, you know, you are going to find people who are going to try to, you know, play to get a few cheap political points. But I think that this is a victory for America. Mm-hmm. You know, at the end of the day, we Americans got him. You know, and I agree with Ron, you know, if Ronald McDonald were president when, you know, on the watch of getting Osama bin Laden, they'd get a bump in the polls also.
I was struck by the fact that yes, it is true that at least one woman was critically injured in this, mm-hmm. but that there could have been so much more. Mm-hmm. There were children in that compound. None of them were injured.
They were very good.
You know, the easier course of action could have been to just level the whole place. They could easily have done that with minimizing any risk to American forces, and they chose not to do that. They chose to do the harder thing. Now, in the course of doing that, they were obviously able to gather other, you know, intelligence and so forth. But that was
Obama's call.
That was his call. And I have to ask, Ron, the fact that Sarah Palin couldn't even bring herself to acknowledge that I have to ask, you know, what is that?
You know, that's just pathetic. I mean, I think, as my friend the A-Train over here just said a moment ago, this was Americans going in to kill Osama bin Laden. This should not be a political thing. And Sarah Palin needs to grow up and get over it. I mean, if she can't, as many issues that I have with President Obama, I say, job well done, Mr. President. Thank you for having the courage. Thank you for having the integrity to give the order to go get those folks and do it safely. And all of our men and women came home who had completed this mission. Job well done.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to our weekly barbershop segment. We're having this a little early. We normally have the barbershop on Friday, but given all the events this week, we thought we'd better get into that shop a little early and hear what the guys have to say. We're joined by author Jimmy Israel, civil rights attorney Arsalan Iftikhar, syndicated columnist Ruben Navarrete, and Republican strategist Ron Christie. Back to you, Jimmy.
Thanks, Michelle. Okay, well, President Obama does seem to be on a roll, winning. He had a lot of fun at Donald Trump's expense during the White House Correspondents' Dinner last Saturday, right, Michelle?
Well, you know, it's so funny how, like, the world changes because, you know, on Saturday, this was, like, the big news is that, you know, the president decided he was going to do a major smackdown on Donald Trump, aided by Seth Meyers, the Saturday Night Live head writer. Right. And I'll just play a clip from that, just for the fun of it. Here it is.
Drop it. So, mm-hmm.
No one is happier, no one is prouder to put this birth certificate matter to rest than the Donald. And that's because he can finally get back to focusing on the issues that matter. Like, did we fake the moon landing? What really happened in Roswell? And where are Biggie and Tupac?
I want to know myself.
That's what I want to know. I know I was worried about that myself. So the question I have is, does this actually? Not the combination of putting the birth certificate out, but also the fact that, like, real stuff happened.
I mean, you know, when President Obama came out on Sunday night and, you know, announced the death of Osama bin Laden, like, I was waiting for that last line of his speech to be, "Hey, Donald Trump, I got some dirt on my shoulder. Could you brush it off for me?" You know, it was definitely a "How You Like Me Now" moment. And
I got to say, the Republicans, I thought, did a really good job. Dick Cheney, Donald Trump, all congratulated President Obama. They all said he had done a good job, and they appreciated that. And as I said, they were a lot more magnanimous than the folks on the left. But here's why: because the dirty little secret here is that President Obama has used and maintained a lot of, if not all of, President Bush's anti-terror policies. Mm-hmm. And so the Republicans really see this as an opportunity to vindicate themselves, to vindicate the old Bush team in terms of these kinds of policies. This is not something we is a secret. We've known this for some time. The Bush people have actually gone – I'm sorry, the Obama people have actually gone to court to defend in court the Obama the Bush policies, to say we want to keep those policies and those procedures for fighting terrorism. So it has caused civil libertarians, I think, some really nervous moments over the last few years that Obama has been, like, morphing into Bush on this very issue of anti-terror. But this provides a chance for Republicans to crow, and boy, are they crowing.
Yeah, but Ruben, the flip side of that is, you know, you do have a lot of Republicans using this as, you know, a political wedge to try to, you know, springboard the waterboarding thing when, you know, Senate Intelligence Committee Chairwoman Dianne Feinstein said that all of the intelligence gleaned about the courier that led them to bin Laden in Abbottabad came well after any of the waterboarding ever occurred.
About waterboarding. You know this, Arslan, because you study this stuff. You know the civil libertarians have been very disappointed in Obama because of
domestic No, but what I'm saying is, you know,
okay,
they haven't been
Hold on a second. Y'all gonna have to grease up and fight this out. Fight this out back, man.
We told you so.
Well, what about? Why don't we ask Ron? Ron, do you think that
RC, check in, man.
Yeah, well, the quiet one of the bunch. Look, I think, frankly, this is, again, a case where it shouldn't be partisan. And, Ruben, it goes to your point that you said a few moments ago. The intelligence community, you have people who were there when we had that botched attempt to get our hostages back in 1979. These people have been there 20, 30 years.
Right.
The people who have the expertise have been doing this for a long time. And for Democrats or Republicans to say, our guy did it better or these folks did it worse, it's a mistake. This is the time we come together as a country. And for goodness sakes, for once, can't we just put our partisan labels down and say, good job for the intelligence agencies and the military? Can't we just do it once?
Yeah, really.
Okay. Really, before we let you go, though, I have to forgive me. Is this cheap of me to ask you about the movie, the Osama movie? You know, they're talking about – Ron's saying, yes, it is cheap of you. Ron is nodding, saying, yes, it is cheap of you. I'm sorry. I'll just go there for just a second. They're talking about Oscar winner Catherine Bigelow, director of The Hurt Locker, was already working on a film about a failed attempt to find bin Laden.
Right.
Now it looks like obviously the ending has to change. Would you go see that movie, Ron?
Hell yeah.
Are you going?
No.
Hell yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I mean,
opening night.
Here's what I'm thinking. Yeah.
Pray
what I'm thinking. Who's gonna play Osama? I mean, you got Jeremy Irons. You got Antoine Dodson.
No.
Maybe Lindsay Lohan. I don't know.
Jimmy, I got it. Listen, okay, now.
Yeah, go ahead.
First of all, as a 6'4" brown Muslim dude, you know, I'll stand in as his body double. But seriously,
good luck. With
oh, that's wrong.
No,
that's just wrong.
I got.
See, if we had said that,
listen.
If we had said that, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I got two words: Jeff Goldblum. 6'4", skinny,
yeah, right.
Olive
yeah,
skin. And
it.
If any Hollywood studio is listening right now and you pick Jeff Goldblum, you need to make it rain here in the barbershop.
Oh, no.
Wait, who said that?
Mark Ruffalo
was, in fact, 6'4". I can see why Pakistan missed him.
So who said right. – so, oh, that's wrong. Who said they weren't going? Ron, you said you ain't going.
I'm not going.
You ain't going.
If I'm going to see the movie, I want to see the Navy SEAL footage. That's the movie I want to see.
All right. That's what's up. Okay. Did you know that there was a bounty for Osama bin Laden?
Yep. $25 million.
You know, apparently reward money has played a role in combating terrorism in the past. The Washington Post reports that the largest bounty ever awarded was $30 million for information that led to Saddam Hussein's sons. Now, the bin Laden cash is – what did you say, Arsalan?
$25 million.
$25 million will probably go unpaid, but if the U.S. government did dole out the cash, who do you think should get it? Arslan, who do you think should get it?
Well, you know what I think might be an interesting scenario is that there are currently 14 million refugees that live on the face of the earth today, and the largest concentration of refugees, 2 million of them, live on the Afghanistan-Pakistan border. And so I would suggest probably giving that money to the United Nations High Commission on Refugees to help the refugees on the border region. I think it'll help quell some of the anti-Americanism that will obviously come from this whole scenario, and I think that it sends a good message to the rest of the world.
Ron, what do you think?
I think that's noble, but you know, Osama bin Laden was behind the single greatest terrorist act committed on American soil on September 11th, 2001. 3,000 people lost their lives. I think that that money should go to those families of the 9/11 victims and let them try to get at least a little piece of their life back.
Ruben, what do you think?
I like that idea. I would add one little amendment to it. I think we should also include in the mix the children of lost service men and women, people who fought in Afghanistan in this 10-year war, who died, and all those kids are going to grow up without one parent, and they're going to need to go to college, and I think this would be a great gesture, and we really can't do enough for these kids.
Jimmy, what do you think?
Well, I think it should go to charity. I think we gotta, you know, help the families that are hurting still after all of this. You know, to give it to somebody, you know, that seems like a lot of money to give to one person, unless it's me.
I know, that's right. Arslan, do you know who got the bounty for the information that led to the capture of Saddam Hussein's sons?
I think it was the guy who had given the tip about the farmhouse in Tikrit where he was captured. I think that was the guy who actually ended up getting it.
Wouldn't you like to know what happened to him in his life? I think he relocated.
We'll never know. That dude's in the Bahamas.
Cold chilling in Tahiti right now.
So before we let you go, what about this whole question of going forward? I know that the you know, President Obama has extended an invitation to President George W. Bush to accompany him to Ground Zero tomorrow. And as I understand it, the president said he appreciates – President Bush says he appreciates the invitation, but he has declined. You know, what about that? Should he go? Do you think he should go? Ron, do you think he should go?
I don't. And, you know, I had the honor and privilege of working with him. And what happened on September 11th is still very painful to the president, as it is to many Americans. And knowing him, he has tried to keep such a low profile since he's left the White House. And he believes this is President Obama's time. You can only have one commander in chief. You can only have one person speaking for the United States. And I think he graciously declined to let President Obama have this moment and to lead the country forward.
Arsene, what do you think? Do you think he should go?
I think he should. I think, you know, in times of national unity, I think it's always nice to see, you know, two presidents. You know, after Katrina, we saw President Bill Clinton, President George H.W. Bush together. You know, I think this is a time where we can transcend politics and partisanship and, you know, show a unified face, not only to our fellow Americans, but to the rest of the world.
Ruben, what do you think?
I can't add much to that. Those two guys, it's like they read my mind. You know, that's what I was going to say. But I think
well, they said two different things. He said no. Ron said no, and Arsene said yes.
It's about national unity. It's about the idea of having, you know, I understand why President Bush believes we should have one president at a time, and he doesn't want to get into the limelight with President Obama. Having said that, it would send a really powerful image around the world to see these two presidents, the person who started the conflict in Afghanistan and the person who has registered to date the most significant military victory achievement in that conflict. And it would send a message out around the entire country. Listen, we fight at home a lot between blues and reds and all that stuff. But when you mess with the United States, we come together as one people, and our politics really do, as the saying goes, they stop at the water's edge. We are one people, and we're coming together.
But just to clarify, Ron, that President Bush will be joining President Obama at the 10th anniversary commemoration of September 11th.
He will.
This coming fall.
He will. He'll be on the South Lawn. You've seen the president since 9/11 lead a White House prayer service and followed by a moment of silence on the South Lawn. And I think that's the appropriate time for President Bush and President Obama to stand shoulder to shoulder and side by side.
Jimmy, final word from you. What do you think? Should he go or not?
You know what? As cool as it would be to see George W. give Obama a pound, you know, that would be kind of fat, you know, or fist bump, I'm sorry.
Terrorist fist bump.
Yeah, or whatever. I mean, that would be kind of cool.
Freedom this is Obama's, fist bump.
This is Obama's moment. Fall back, Bush.
As
good
he
call.
Did.
Good
As
call.
He did.
Good call.
Jimmy Israel is a freelance journalist and author of the book, The Denzel Principle. He joined us from member station WCPN in Cleveland. Ruben Navarrete is a syndicated columnist who writes for the Washington Post Writers Group and CNN.com. He was with us from San Diego. Ron Christie is a Republican strategist and a former aide, as you just heard, to President George W. Bush and Vice President Dick Cheney. And Arsalan Iftikhar is a civil rights attorney, founder of themuslimguide.com, and the managing editor of the Crescent Post. Arsalan and Ron were both here with us in our Washington, D.C. studio. Gentlemen, thank you all so much. Thank you for joining this special edition of The Barbershop.
Peace. Ciao, fellas.
Yep, yep.
And that's our program for today. I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Let's talk more tomorrow.